As we begin our study on the Lord's Prayer, we want to come to the address of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father in heaven. And let's read a summary of the scriptural meaning of that address, our Father in heaven, from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, in the back of the Red Psalter Hymnal, the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, page 894. Question and answers 120 and 121, Lord's Day 46. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Why the words, "Who is in heaven?" These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way and to expect from His almighty power everything needed for body and soul. And let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, page 1505. But before that, let's read Jesus' introduction to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by man. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then over to Matthew 7, the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. And that's our text this morning. Matthew 7, pardon me, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? There ends the reading of God's word. May He bless that word to teach us and encourage us to pray much. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible gives us great motivation to pray. We learned last week from God's word that your prayers are not in vain. When you come to the true God in Jesus' name, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 to the Corinthians, you helped us with your prayers when we are persecuted. You helped us with your prayers. God used your prayers to deliver us. Wow. Prayer is so important and so powerful in God's plan for this world. Another place Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Through your prayers, the word of God speeds ahead. Through your prayers for your brothers and sisters, for the word to grow on them, your neighbors who are not Christians, for the nations. God uses our prayers to cause His word to speed ahead. He uses our little prayers to accomplish His big plans for this world, and that way calls us to be His co-workers in the coming of His kingdom through prayer. Prayer is such an important place in God's kingdom, and He's glorified when weak and needy people call on a great, rich, and generous God. Prayer really does change our lives. It really does change the world because God is the power behind it. And he's pleased to use prayer. Well, today we study an even greater motivation to pray. The one true God we pray to is our good and gracious Heavenly Father, who will not refuse us anything we ask in faith. And that's the powerful motivation that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 when he says, ask. And he gives that repeated command, ask, seek, knock. And then a repeated promise, whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds. To whomever knocks, the door is opened. And then following that, he gives the reason why we should be encouraged to pray, because of the one on the other end is a good Heavenly Father who loves his children and wants more to give to us what we ask than we even want to ask him. That's the kind of God we have. That's a great encouragement to pray. Jesus calls us here to pray as children of the Heavenly Father. First, we see his repeated command to pray, and then his repeated promise in prayer, and his reasonable argument for prayer. Some of this you'll recognize. I borrowed it from an earlier sermon that some of you said to me, you should preach that again sometime. And it fits so well with Lord's Day 46, Jesus teaching us to call God our Father when we come to him as prayer, to come approach him in that way as our Heavenly Father. Not a scary tyrant, not as a cosmic bully, not as a distant higher power, not as an uncaring deity, not as a not so powerful nice guy up in the sky, but as he really is, our Heavenly Father through Christ, his Son. Pray as children of the Heavenly Father. First, we see Jesus' repeated command to pray without ceasing to our Heavenly Father. Ask, and you shall, or it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Repeatedly, he commends us to the action of prayer. He exhorts us to five things in this repeated command. First, he exhorts us to activity. Ask, seek, knock. Your Father is filled with an armload of blessings that he wants to give to you, that he's promised to you. And he can give them to you without you asking, because he knows what you need before you ask him. But he's your Father. Jesus Christ saved you to make you his son, his daughter. He brought you into a covenant relationship. He wants to talk to you. He loves you. Oh, it's a call to action. Ask, seek, knock. Don't just wait passively for God to do something. Talk to him, beg him, appeal to him. As Jesus once said to his disciples in Luke 12, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's pleasure, good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. He has so much he has promised to you, brothers and sisters. So much he wants to give you. So be active in going to him and seeking from him the good gifts that he's promised you to ask for. Lay your troubles before him. Open up your heart to him. As Psalm 62 says, pour out your hearts before him. For God is a refuge for us. Seek from him all the good gifts that he's commanded you to ask him for. Everything you need for body and soul is outlined in the Lord's Prayer. From your daily bread, clothing, food, shelter, health, strength, to the forgiveness of your sins, to deliverance from temptation, to the coming of the kingdom and the hallowing of God's name, all of it. He exhorts us to activity in prayer. Secondly, he exhorts us to constancy and persistence by repeating the command in three forms. Ask, seek, knock. It's a command of diligence. The three verbs here are present imperative verbs. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop. Always pray and never give up, Jesus said at another spot. Many ask once in a pinch. And then they wait and see whether God's going to come through for them. Well, and then they give up because God didn't hear, so called. And by this they show they're not serious about receiving God's gifts and not serious about believing that he's loaded with gifts for them. Show you're serious. Don't test him, trust him. Jesus exhorts us to activity, to constancy, thirdly to intensity. Those three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are in verbs of increasing intensity and urgency. Asking means bringing your need before the Father. Seeking means a more intense pursue your holy desire before the Father. And knocking means more action yet. Run to the throne room of God and bang on His door. In other words, don't worry about overdoing it in prayer. As long as you're in prayer, your prayer is in agreement with God's word and will. And He's the center. Show God you mean it. He's testing your faith in Him. Whether you really believe in Him to provide for you all that He's promised. He exhorts us to activity. Secondly, to constancy. Thirdly, to intensity. Fourthly, to simplicity. Ask, seek, knock. You don't need a degree in theology for that. You don't need a special prayer talent for that. Sometimes believers think that way. I'll leave praying to the ones with a special prayer talent. This is a command for all Jesus' followers. The young, the old, men, women, even the lame, the deaf, the mute, the blind can come to God. The Lord gives His good gifts to all who believe in Him who come in Jesus' name. He exhorts us to simplicity, and fifthly, He exhorts us to humility, childlike faith. Ask, seek, knock. It's no secret that the church and Western culture has virtually become prayerless. And that's because we've become godless. Oh, we have the trappings of Christianity, but we've decided we really don't need God. We can live in our own strength. And as proud people, we think, I can do it myself. And we seek to live without God. But Jesus taught us the truth. We're needy and dependent on God for everything, for body and soul. You can't take one breath without God. You can't digest one meal without God. You can't go to work without God's help. You can't save your child without the Holy Spirit's power. We need God, and Jesus saved us to take us out of that blindness of unbelief, that pride that says I'll do it myself, that prayerless godlessness, into a relationship with the Heavenly Father where we learn, wow, am I a needy person? Wow, is God a great Father? So He exhorts us here to childlike faith, to humility, to activity, constancy, intensity, simplicity, and humility. We need the Lord. Lean completely on your heavenly dad. That's what those verbs mean. Ask, seek, knock. Don't try to go it alone. When you get up in the morning, you face so many assaults of Satan. Don't you dare leave your home without prayer. Seeking strength, help, protection, grace to face the challenges, the assaults, the temptations of the coming day. And that's just for you. What about your wife? What about your husband? What about your children? What about your brothers and sisters? What about your neighbors? What about the nations? We need our Heavenly Dad. We need our Heavenly Father. And then secondly, we have Jesus' repeated promise. Because backing the command, ask, seek, knock, are these great and precious promises that encourage prayer. Ask and you might receive. It doesn't say that, does it? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Not all the commands in the world to pray could get us to pray apart from these promises. Praying to your Heavenly Father is an exercise filled with promise because He's gracious. Our prayers never match what they ought to be. They're never sin-free, are they? There are always weaknesses in our prayers. And yet, our Father is filled with the promise that for Christ's sake He'll hear our prayer. They come, remember, they come through the finished work of Christ to our God, through our mediator's right hand. So they come to Him in perfect shape, though they leave our mouths in imperfect shape. And so we're exhorted to pray confidently with His triple promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The Lord promises to hear your voice and to reward your seeking, brothers and sisters, and to open the door to your knocking. He promises to give to you personally. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And that's the confidence, says 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have toward Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him. Think of the prayer of the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a prayer. Jesus answered today, you will. You will be with me in paradise. Ask and you will receive. No, I cannot tell you, congregation, how or when or in what way God will hear and answer you. But I can tell you that your persistent prayers will not go unheard or answered. When you come to God through Jesus, He will not turn you away. As John Newton wrote in his hymn, you are coming to a King, large petitions with you bring, for His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. The Lord will bless you through your prayers, congregation. He'll bless you through your prayers. He's going to use your prayers to do great things. Yes, and beyond your prayers, He's able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or imagine. Exceedingly above. He never blesses us in proportion to our prayers, but far more. Because He's generous as our Father. Our God is the God who hears prayer. He's the living God. He's the loving God. You know, if He would give you His beloved Son, will He hold back anything else from you that you need? Of course not. Paul says that in Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, how will He not also along with us graciously give us all things? How will He not also along with Him, His Son, graciously give us all things? So Spurgeon said, why do you doubt, believer? Do you think God will not keep His word? He's a God who cannot lie. He was under no necessity to promise freely out of the greatness of His divine nature, which is love. He says to a poor sinner, knock and it shall be opened to you. Oh, be sure of this. He means it. Until heaven and earth shall pass away, His word shall stand. And neither you nor any other sinner that knocks at His door will be refused admittance and all His good gifts. And if stating the promise three times is not enough, Jesus adds to a promise a triple assurance. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. He says it all over again, but now as a matter of personal assurance, everyone who prays to the Father in Jesus' name will receive from God. It's the rule of God for all askers, seekers, and knockers. They'll receive good gifts from the hand of the Father. As one Puritan wrote, never did the hand of faith knock in vain at God's gate. Never did the hand of faith knock in vain at God's gate. God's mercy doors are wide open to the prayers of His faithful people. And above all, the gift that you receive, Jesus says in Luke 11, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 7, we read, how much more will He give His good gifts to His children? Luke says, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to His children, to those who ask Him? He promises you the Spirit. Ask Him for the Spirit to fill you, to change you, to sanctify you, to enable you to serve one another, to enable you to witness, to give you boldness, to help you in your calling as a husband, to help you in your calling as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a neighbor. Ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit to break you down, the sinful man, to build you up, the new man in Christ, more and more and more. Pray that constantly. And He promises to do great things in your life. And He'll not refuse what you ask. Why not? Well, as Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give to you. Think about that. Whatever you ask in My name, the Father will give to you, said Jesus. See, God the Father loves His Son. And He's given everything to Jesus. And when we come to Him in Jesus' name, that means we are tied to His Son. We're connected to Him. We belong to Him. And if you're tied to His Son, He views you as sin-free, as lovely, as worthy for Christ's sake. And He'll not refuse you anything you ask when you're united to Jesus. Oh, for the grace of Christ given to us that we might come to our Father in prayer through His name. Well, let's see, thirdly, Jesus follows this with a reasonable argument. Look at that in Matthew 7. After commanding us repeatedly to pray, ask, seek, knock, and giving to us repeated promises and assurances, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. He follows that with the foundational argument. Which of you, verse 9, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Which of you, dads, if your son asks you for a fish, is going to give him a snake? Here, have this for supper. If you then, though you're sinful dads, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your sinless dad in heaven, your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him? That's the foundational argument. Finally, Jesus appeals to the generous, gracious, good fatherhood of God as the ultimate argument for asking, seeking, knocking, for praying much, for praying without ceasing. It's a reasonable argument, isn't it? He argues from the lesser to the greater, common form of argument in that day. If the lesser is true, the greater is much more true. If dads on earth who are weak and sinful give bread and fish to their children when they're hungry, not stones and snakes, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Because He's our Father, said Jesus. Verse 11. No. Oh, no, it's better. He's our Father in heaven. And that's an encouragement and motivation. Not just to ask, but to ask much. And not only to ask much, but to expect much from God in prayer. As the Catechism says it so well, to expect from His almighty power, as the heavenly dad, everything needed for body and soul. Expect much. Number one, because He's personal. Jesus teaches us to view God as He really is, our Heavenly Father. That means God is personal. He's our Father. He's a person, not an idea, not a fairy tale, not an opinion. But the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth who's become our dad through Christ His Son. Remember that when we sinned, we turned our backs on God. We cut ourselves off from our Heavenly Father. And came under His curse. He shut us out from His presence. We were so far away from our Heavenly Father. We became strangers to Him. Didn't even have the right to call Him Father anymore. But God loved us so much and wanted us back into His family so much. He sent His Son unto our side in our curse of sin. And He punished Him in our place so that that curse of sin could be removed from us. The barrier could be broken down and we could be brought back into God's family and call God our Father again and be adopted as His sons and daughters. Wow. If you don't know God in a personal way, go to Jesus. Ask for the barriers between you and God to be removed so you're no longer a stranger to the Heavenly Father, but a son or a daughter. Expect much because He's personal, our Father. Expect much, second, because He's accessible. Jesus said a son asks his dad for bread or a fish when he's hungry. A son asks his dad for help to put on his boots when the boots are tight. A son asks his dad for wisdom to help him decide which university or trade to enter. Because a dad is close, a dad's available, a dad's accessible. So our God, says the Bible, is near to us whenever we call on him. Deuteronomy 7 or Deuteronomy 4. And Isaiah says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. I love this one. You shall cry and the Lord will say, I'm right here. I'm right here. Expect much because as our Father, he's accessible. Prayer is not getting God's attention. You already have his attention. Prayer is not winning his love. You already have his love. He watches over you all the time. He sent his son to die for you. He hears you thinking your prayer even before you say it. He's your father and the door's always open. Expect much because he's personal. Expect much because he's accessible. Thirdly, expect much because he is good. He is good. What did Jesus say? If fathers on earth can give good gifts and they're sinful, how much more your Father in heaven gives good gifts to those who seek him. He is good. If earthly fathers have some goodness and kindness in them, how much more God our Father who's perfect. He's not a single trace of any evil in him. He is light and in him is no darkness at all, says the Bible. He is so kind and generous. His goodness and generosity tower infinitely above the goodness of the kindest person on earth. His heart is huge with compassion for you in your distress. Filled with mercy for you in your trouble. Loaded with grace for you in your sin and temptation. Rich with wisdom for you when you're uncertain how to proceed in life. James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all generously. Generously. Without finding fault. And let him not doubt. Again, prayer is not persuading God to give you good gifts. He's not stingy. He's not reluctant. It's coming to a Father who loves you and he's waiting to help you, bless you, and give you more than you ask. Generously, lavishly, wisely, without our deserving it at all. He's not a tight-fisted God whose hands need to be pried open by prayer. Expect much because he's good. And one more thing, expect much because he's great. He's our Father in heaven. Our dad in heaven owns everything. All heaven and earth are at his fingertips. He can move heaven and earth to help you. Don't think of him in an earthly way as a weak and moody and forgetful or not paying attention God. No, he's our heavenly Father who sees all, knows all, hears all, cares for all, controls all, owns all. Has our hairs numbered. And you can be fully confident that by your prayers, you're engaging with the Almighty God who's for you in Christ. He's for you, not against you. And he'll move heaven and earth to help you, just like Daniel prayed that Israel would be allowed to go back to the promised land when they were exiles in Persia. God, in answer to his prayer, moved the heart of King Cyrus and moved the whole empire to answer Daniel's prayer. He's great. He is great. He is in heaven. He's almighty. So let's pray and not be faint, says J.C. Ryle. It's not lost labor. It's not useless. It will bear fruit after many days. That word never yet failed, which Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. May God give us grace and encouragement to become more faithful and diligent in prayer. Because our Heavenly Father will not refuse anything we ask in faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Help us, Lord, to break the pattern of prayerlessness. Help us to break the weak habits of prayer in our lives. Help us to see you in faith as the God who's loaded down with benefits for us and eager to hand them out. And so, move us to pray, teach us to pray, hear our prayers, answer our prayers. Hear us even as we pray now because of Christ your Son who purchased everything for us in his death. In his name we pray. Amen.